الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تهتدون Dear respected brothers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So alhamdulillah, Allah gave us the opportunity to stand in prayer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our recitation. May Allah accept our listening to the Quran and make our gathering this a means of salvation for us. Ameen. So hopefully, inshallah, in today's short session, we'll go through some of the important masail of Ramadan. The importance of Ramadan, the rules of fasting, the rules of Taraweeh, the rules of I'tikaf, the rules of Sadaqatul Fitr. I know, I understand, it's very early to discuss Eid, but few masail of Eid, whilst we're at it. Why is Ramadan important to us? Oh, mashallah. So that was a rhetorical question, but yes. Why is Ramadan important to us? Alhamdulillah, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Futtihat abwabul jannah. The gates of Jannah are open, and the doors and the gates of Jahannam are closed. Wasuffidati shayateen, and the devils are chained up. So it's a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a month to reconcile. In Arabic, Ramadan comes from Ramada, to burn. It burns away, it eradicates, it wipes away our sins. So I'll just have to fluctuate. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever does not give up forged speech and evil actions, Allah is not in need of him leaving his food and drink. Because not only the fasting, abstaining from food and drink, but also abstaining and protecting the eyes from looking at wrong, the ears from listening to wrong. So this is the spiritual aspect of fasting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So fasting has been made compulsory so that you can become God-fearing. Because if food and drink, which is normally allowed, we abstain from because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you think this person will then fall into sin? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Having the consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is fasting? As we know, it's to abstain from food and drink from Subah Sadiq. Subah Sadiq is true dawn, Fajr beginning time until sunset with the intention of reward. But don't worry, I won't be the only one who is speaking from here. I'm sure there'll be lots of opportunities for people to also discuss and for people to answer. Some of these may even be controversial. But then again, this topic is slightly dry. There has to be some reason we spice it up. I woke up after Sehri time ended and I had not made the intention of fasting yet. Is it okay to make the intention now? What time is Fajr beginning time, Sehri time? Let's say 10 past 5, whatever, 5, 10 past 5. Imagine I woke up at 5:30. My alarm clock, it's not gone off. I realize it's 5:30. Fajr beginning time has already set. Can I still make the intention? Obviously, I've not eaten anything. I woke up 5:30, 6 o'clock, 6:30. Can I still make the intention? Oh, mashallah, say mashallah. Okay, what if I was quite lazy or I was tired and I woke up at 10 o'clock? Okay. What if I slept until 2 o'clock? Nearly there. Okay, so the condition is take the Fajr beginning time, take the sunset time, and find the midpoint. As long as you make the intention anywhere from the beginning till the midpoint, it is permissible. Let's assume, for example, just to make things easy, 5 o'clock is Sehri, and let's assume 5 o'clock is Iftari. So how many hours is that? 12 hours. So half the 12 hours, which is 6. Now count from 5 o'clock, 6 hours. 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. That means as long as I've not eaten anything, I can make intention right until 11 o'clock. If afterwards, I cannot make the intention. Have you understood? So even if you did not make the intention from night, it's fine as long as you've not eaten anything throughout the day, but as long as it's before the midpoint, before 11 o'clock. So this is a narration of a nafal fast, which is the same. That Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would observe the Fajr prayer, and then he would do the ta'aleem. Then after sunrise, he would return home and he would say, is there anything to eat? Brothers are requested, mashallah, there's lots of space to my right, and there's a presentation, so probably the presentation will help as well. So whoever wants to come in, mashallah, there's lots of space, there's ample space there. Jazakumullah. And the other brothers are requested just to move slightly to their left. The brothers, they are slightly shy. Jazakumullah khairah. And if the brothers here slightly want to move towards the center. Jazakumullah, we've got 2 big screens here. So everyone should be able to see. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to come and then ask, is there anything to eat? And subhanallah, for many a days there wouldn't be anything cooked in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If there was something to eat, he would eat. If there was nothing, then he would say, I'm fasting. Let's say someone 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay, these are some questions. The first question was relevant, especially a few years back, when many of our young ones were either sitting their GCSEs or A-levels or their exams during the long period of Ramadan. I have some extremely important exams during Ramadan. Do I need to fast? These are some of the questions that will be answered in the next few slides. That it's difficult. I need to be hydrated. I need to eat well. I need to have a good breakfast to be able to function well, to be able to write the paper well. If a woman is pregnant, can she choose not to fast? Or I have a flight, and the flight is to New Zealand, let's say 11 a.m. Is it okay not to fast? Okay, that must be straightforward. Anyone? I have a flight in the morning, 11 a.m. It's a long duration, long distance, long separation in hours. Am I okay not to fast? MashaAllah. Okay. Somewhat in between, but nearly there. MashaAllah, it's the young ones who are the most like courageous and bold here. Are we scared of getting it wrong? Okay. Okay, Jazakumullah. So I have to fly to New Zealand at 11 a.m. Is it okay not to fast? The key thing here is 11 a.m. Are you traveling at Subah Sadiq Fajr beginning time or not? If you've already embarked, set off on a journey at Subah Sadiq, then you are excused. Then you may choose to fast or you may not fast. But if I'm still here at 5 a.m. Subah Sadiq, am I on a journey? Am I qualified as a musafir, traveler? No, I'm still in Blackburn yet. I won't be moving, I won't be traveling until 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. So as long as I'm a resident, I'm in hometown, at the time of Fajr, at the time of Subah Sadiq, I'm obliged to fast. Knowing that I will be traveling, I still have to fast. Why? Because I am not on a journey at the time of Subah Sadiq. But yes, I'm fasting at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Once I begin my journey, it's better to continue. But if I were to break the fast, because it's a long distance, it's difficult carrying luggage, then there wouldn't be a big penalty. Then I would just have to keep a substitute fast afterwards. But this is an important mas'ala. If at the time of Subah Sadiq you're already traveling, you're excused. You may choose to fast, not to fast. However, if you are still at home at Subah Sadiq time, you will have to fast. Some of these slides, I'll try to make it simple. Who is allowed not to fast? There are some individuals who are totally excused. Roza rakhne ki zarurat hi nahi hai, and they are little children, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old. Yes, however, unki himmat afzai, hosla afzai, and to encourage them, parents may have half a fast, although we know there's nothing as half a fast, but at least they feel like they're part of this ibadat and worship, and inshallah inspires them to keep long fast, and that will inshallah help them in the near future. Nevertheless, there's no fardiyya obligation. So even if they were to start it and for some reason break it, there's no substitute fast. Similarly, if a person does not have aqal, sanity, then they're not obliged to pray salah, to do hajj, to even fast. Now, the following individuals are excused to fast temporarily, not to fast. However, they will be required to fast at a later date. So, for example, jo aurat hamila ho, such a woman, if she fears upon herself or the baby's health, she may choose not to fast and fast later. However, this needs to be because this is a reason enough not to fast at all. No, they should fast. However, if by experience or by a reliable doctor they understand, if they were to fast, it'll affect their health. Or it will affect the baby's health, whether in the womb or being nursed, then they may choose not to fast and fast afterwards. Illness, old age. Again, if a person has reached the age 80, 90, 100 years old, terminal chronic illness, they will never be able to fast. They need constant medication. Yes, they may not fast, but they'll never be able to fast because they've already reached 90, 100 or so. Then they will give fidya, as we will discuss. Travel. We've said again, if you're traveling at Subah Sadiq, you choose to fast or not fast. Better is to fast if you know you're capable to do so. However, if you choose not to fast now, obviously later on, you'll have to keep a substitute fast. And jo aurat haiza nifas par ho, such a woman, it's haram for her to fast. In fact, she'll do qada afterwards. Oh, controversial. Okay, but come on, I need some liveliness in here. Okay, I don't think I can do this anymore. Why are there moon wars every single year? Again, I did this a few years back. So why do I follow? Who do I follow? Local or global? Why can't everyone be one? Why have I included this? Not that we're going to make these decisions, but to say, look, there's some masail. That's the parameters, that's the lane of the scholars. And alhamdulillah, whomsoever you have full faith and conviction in, follow. One is ikhtilaf, the other is khilaf. Ikhtilaf is difference of opinion. People can have difference of opinion. And that's the beauty. Our beauty of deen is in diversity. The different schools of fiqh. If people have their different scholars and they're well versed and they research well and it's in line with Sharia, then do so. However, what is required is the unity of the hearts. We may never have the unity of actions. Everyone praying in the exact same manner. Everyone doing the same things. However, the unity of the hearts is the most important. There shouldn't be any malice or hatred for anyone because they choose to do something else than us. As long as they follow the Sharia. Sharia is that فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So there'll be many scholars who have expertise, or you have faith and confidence in, you follow them, knowing that we ourselves don't have that knowledge. So we don't need to worry. We don't need to worry there's different Eids or so, as long as we're content, we're happy, we have a scholar, we follow them. Subhanallah, your Ramadan was yesterday, your Ramadan is today. Either way, after all, we're Muslim brothers. And some things you'll realize, these differences existed 1,300 years ago or so, from the time of Sahaba and afterwards. So will we be able to solve them? Probably not. For example, some scholars believe that we should try and sight the moon locally. Only if sighted locally, then we will hold the next month. While some scholars, like the Hanafiya, also say global, that as long as it's sighted anywhere in the world, it's sufficient for us to take this. So obviously, if fundamentally they differ, so their conclusions will differ. But these are two great stunts. For those who say local, will say, well, our salah times are local, so this will also be localized. However, the others will say, well, global, because the horizon is one, so wherever it's seen, then it could be used as by the others also. So as we said, why can't everyone be one, each to their own, as long as there's unity of the heart, and as long as we don't, without knowledge, criticize each other. Now, obviously, we discussed this because there are huge chapters in hadith about it and in the books of fiqh, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not fast or commence Ramadan until sumu, you see, sumu li ru'yati, you see the crescent. That's why many different people in different parts of the world, they might use visibility maps, they may use calculations. However, the emphasis of our scholars is ru'ya. Therefore, we make an active effort to go and sight the moon. So do not, and again, there's a difference of opinion. Some scholars say, well, it should be with the naked eyes. Some scholars say, well, optical aid could be used or not. So obviously, there's going to be a difference of opinion. Those who say with the naked eye, it might be slightly difficult to see. Whilst those who use and adopt optical aid, it's more likely that at an earlier time, they're able to see. So there's a difference of opinion. So look at it. However, if after 29 nights you are unable to see the moon, then complete the 30. Because an Islamic month, a lunar month, will either be 29. If you sight the moon, it's the next month. If you don't, complete the 30, and the next day has to be Ramadan. Okay, I'll be very quick with this. This also sometimes causes confusion. Okay, this is according to the Hanafi school of thought, that if the sky is clear, imagine it's a summer's day, there's no clouds, there's no dust, there's no lighting, there's no artificial pollution, the sky is totally clear, then it requires a jam ghafir. Jam ghafir means a huge group whom we have full conviction that they are speaking the truth and they will have sighted the moon. So if a huge group comes to the judge and declares, we have sighted the moon, he could be lying, he sighted at such a place, well, if you put all their testimonies together, it gives us a level of certainty. So therefore, if the sky is clear, more people should have seen it. So if more people give testimony, then it will be declared it's the month. For the month of Ramadan, even one person's testimony is accepted, as long as they're reliable. So the qadi or the judge, and these exist in many parts of the world as well, will look at their testimonies, will ask them questions, look at their integrity, and then will give the verdict. However, if the sky is unclear, if it's covered, there's dust, there's clouds, then only then one person's testimony will be accepted. So it's got to do with the sky. Is the sky clear or unclear? If it's clear, it requires a whole group to have witnessed it. If it's unclear, if there's cloud, then even one reliable Muslim's testimony will be accepted. So that's where, again, the confusion sometimes is. That some people may argue, well, the sky will never be clear here. While in other parts of the world, the sky may be clear. But does it have enough people to give a certainty that they have sighted the moon? Now we move on to what actions break the fast. This is fiqh. These are masail. Obviously, sometimes it can become difficult. So what I will do is, I'll go through some of these slides, but there'll be lots of opportunities for us to probably answer some questions. Now we go on to what breaks the fast, what does not break the fast. Sometimes the fast breaks. Don't worry, your fast has broken, you only have to keep one replacement fast. Okay, yeah? The more difficult ones are, if you were to break the fast breaks, there's qada. Qada means a replacement fast. And there is a kafara. Kafara literally means that there's a penalty of 60 continuous days of fasting. Again, many a people struggle, but we will discuss that it's hardly applicable unless a person deliberately breaks it. Now, I think this is one of the most important slides to cover. If you can grasp this slide, then inshallah, you'll be getting an A star to all my questions. Or is it grade 9 nowadays? Okay, what breaks the fast? This is the most important slide. Let's go through these questions. Visible. Something has to have a physical existence. So for example, I took an itar from someone. I applied the itar. Beautiful scent, beautiful fragrance. But have I seen any gas, any vapor, any scent rising? No. So even though I can smell it in my nose, imagine the scent is so strong, I can taste it in my throat, but I've not seen anything visible being inhaled in my nose or taken through my mouth, so therefore, it will not break the fast. Although I can smell it, although I can taste it. So it needs to have a visible presence. Something that you see. You see the smoke rising. You see the vapor rising. Second thing is Independence Day. Anything that goes inside must have an Independence Day. What does that mean? The scholars gave an example previously that take a stone, tie it to a string or rope, put it down the throat and take it out. Will that break the fast? It's gone down. But no, because it doesn't have an independent state. Now you might be thinking, well, that was only theoretical, hypothetical. But nowadays, it so happens, cameras, they may put a camera inside and then take it out. So will that break the fast? No, because although something has gone through the mouth, under the throat, but it does not have an independent state. But again, that is as long as there's no gel also. If they were to put a lotion or gel or cream or something on the camera and then they were to cause it to go down, then because of the gel or the cream, it will invalidate the fast, not the camera itself. Visibility, Independence Day, not forgetfully. This is a big one as well. Because I've seen in some masjids, even these posters that some people make, but they may not know the difference between accidentally and forgetfully. There's a difference. Accidentally, forgetfully. Let me give you an example. Let's assume I was making wudu for Salatul Dhuhr. And mashallah, wash my hands, put some water in my mouth to goggle, and whilst I'm goggling, a droplet goes down my throat. Obviously, I didn't intend it. How dare I intend it? I knew I was fasting. I would just put some water and a droplet went down. Does my fast break or not? Anyone disagrees? Mashallah, disagree. Okay, so it will break the fast. Because that was accidental. So accidental breaks the fast. Forgetfulness is different. Forgetfulness is that you've totally unaware, unconscious, that you're even fasting. Imagine you wake up in the morning, you see the sun out there, you forgot that you're even fasting, you went down, you opened the fridge, you took some drink. Yes? Not that you would do that. And then, mashallah, then I took some cereal, Rice Krispies, Frosties, whatever people eat now, poured some milk, ate it. Found some eggs from yesterday, ate that, got some Nutella, got some spread, mashallah. And now I'm finally done. Then I realize I had been fasting. Will my fast break?
Yeah.
No, it won't. Because although I ate deliberately, but because it was out of forgetfulness that I was in fasting. So can you see the difference? Accident and forget. In accident, you're well aware you're fasting. But in forgetfulness, you're not aware at all. Also, reaches the lungs or stomach or intestines. Which is, for example, if you were to apply something in your mouth. Let's say something in the mouth for some reason or the other, as long as it doesn't reach the lungs or the stomach, it does not break the fast. So many people will ask, what about dentist appointment? Now we will say to them, be cautious, try and avoid taking an appointment during Ramadan. Some people will say, well, I've been waiting for months on. If you can guarantee and assure nothing will go down the throat, then it will not break the fast. But if anything was to, then it will break the fast. Enters the body through the mouth, nose, deliberately, if normally unavoidable. So for example, you're walking and there's lots of gas, there's lots of vapor, and there's lots of dust. And if it's unavoidable, that's fine. But if you were to deliberately say, well, I can't smoke in Ramadan, but I can't stand next to a person who's smoking. Yeah, and deliberately inhale, that will break. Deliberately inhaling. I'm trying to avoid because of children. Okay, next few questions. I'll take them very quickly. Can I take an injection whilst fasting? Come on, the kids are going to win this battle, even with the wrong answers. MashaAllah, another child, yeah? You can? MashaAllah, the fatwa has been given. Yeah, you can. As long as it's not through the mouth and nose and piche ke raste se. Yeah, I'm saying that because children. So as long as these three avenues, pathways, are avoided, anything else that enters the body, it will not break the fast. Now, whether it's through the eyes, eye drops, or whether it's ear drops, or it's an injection, as long as it doesn't enter the throat, the lungs, the stomach, via these three things. Yeah, the nose, the ears, and the backside. It's really hot and my work is physical. Can I take an asthma pump? Again, it will break the fast. However, if a person needs and requires, then we will say, look after your health, take the asthma pump, but the fast will break and you will need to keep a substitute fast afterwards. Such a woman is required to fast unless she fears her health or the health of her child. Endoscopy, we said the camera going down, it's the gel that violated. Can I use a deodorant? What about deodorant? Sorry?
You're not applying it to your mouth.
Okay, you're not applying it, but you're inhaling it. So do you think it'll break or it won't break? Okay. Now, if you can see the particles rising, you sprayed lots, you see the particles rising, and you inhale it deliberately, it will break the fast. However, if you were to apply some little and you can't see it rising, you can't see it inhaling, however, you are able to smell it, it won't break the fast. Yeah? Perfect. Try and avoid any of that yet to risk your fast and use a rolling. Can I use eye drops? As we've said, is that through the three pathways? Just go through three pathways? No. So it won't break the fast. Eardrops, is that through the three pathways? It won't break the fast. Vomiting. Vomiting, as long as a person doesn't deliberately do so and doesn't deliberately intake a mouthful, it won't break the fast. In general, vomiting will not break the fast unless a person deliberately chooses to vomit and takes it and it's full mouth. Vicks. Whilst fasting, and I could taste the effect of it on my throat. What do we say about Vicks? Strong, isn't it? You can taste it in your throat. Will it break the fast? It will? Why? Okay. So if you can remember a few slides above, visibility, is it visible? Now, if you were to apply some Vicks here, let's say, have you seen any vapor rising? No. So as long as you've not put it in your nose or in your mouth and you can't see the vapor rising, although it has a strong scent, it will not break the fast. However, if you were to use one of those sticks and put it up the nose, then it will break the fast because then the particles directly or inhale through the nose. Okay, how do I fast whilst on the aeroplane? This will be quick. The same concept is for salah. Many people struggle. How do I pray salah in the aeroplane? How do I fast? You look at the Subah Sadiq, you look at the Fajr beginning time, and you will continue to fast until wherever you happen to be, and it's sunset. It's really easy now. Either you can find many apps, you can find them and you can discover on the internet before you embark the journey, or whilst on the journey, you can look at the time, you'll be fully aware. Similar is the salah time. When will I pray my Fajr, my Dhuhr, my Asr, my Maghrib, my Isha? That can easily be calculated, but it's based on the country that you are flying over. Sometimes it may well be that you'll be breaking your fast in the middle of your journey because it happens to be sunset where you are at the given time. So these are just few examples. That few years back, I was traveling to Canada. So we started the fast here because at Subah Sadiq, we were still resident in Blackburn. Then we went on our journey and the flight, so it was almost few years back, 19-hour fast. Then the flight journey, when we reached there, it was still Dhuhr time. And by the time of Iftari, it had been 24 hours that we had been fasting. But we had to fast. Because as long as I'm in Blackburn, I will use the Blackburn Kaliyashin. It's Subah Sadiq, I will follow. When I'm mid-flight, I will use there. But when I reach Canada, I won't be looking at, well, I was in Blackburn when I started the fast. Now I will follow the Canada, so I will only break my fast upon Iftari in Canada or wherever you happen to be. Even if that means a long fast. These are the instructions. Use the flight magazine, ask the stewards. Really easy, you'll be able to download the apps. Okay, if a person had deliberately, without any reason, broken their fast, now what do they do? Now, if you were to break the fast with a valid reason, let's say you had to take the asthma pump, you needed to take the medicine, then at the most, yes, your fast will break, but you'll only have one replacement fast. But because you never did it deliberately, you don't have 60 continuous days of fasting. But if you were to start the Ramadan fast, you're fasting, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, then you realize, fresh smell of biryani. And you're like, you know what? I'm just eating. Now you chose to eat after having started without any valid reason. Now if you were to break, there'll be not only a replacement fast, there'll be 60 continuous days of fasting. So that has been explained. Again, this slide is just a summary of those things that don't break the fast. The mere intention of breaking the fast doesn't. Using miswak, applying itar, taking an injection. This was an activity for people to complete. What, does it break the fast? Does it not break the fast? However, we'll go through it because as long as we've got the concept, it should be fine. Okay, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for the one who has died whilst having the obligation of fasting a month, one person should be fed on his behalf for every day. Which we know as? What do we know this as? A fidya. So per day, let's assume someone was unable to fast and they passed away. So we'll calculate the number of days and per day we'll give fidya, which is similar to sadaqatul fitr value. So just like for every salah missed, we'll have to give a fidya. For every fast missed, there'll be sadaqatul fitr equivalent, which we'll go through in the next few slides. Can I go swimming? Again, it's risky that some water will go down the throat. Because of this, it's disliked. Otherwise, if someone can be fully aware and conscious and has control that their mouth and their face will remain upwards and nothing will enter, then swimming itself won't break the fast. I have a dentist appointment, we've discussed. Again, toothpaste should be avoided. Why? Even if a person was to promise that I only apply some of it on my teeth, because of the risk and the likelihood that even if a small particle was to mix with your saliva, mucus and your own saliva, if you were to swallow it, will it break the fast? No. Your own saliva and mucus will not break the fast. But if that mixes with a bit of your toothpaste and it goes down, it will break the fast. So why risk your fast? Makruh asks, O Messenger of Allah, tell me about wudu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whilst fasting, perform wudu completely, pass wet fingers between the fingers, the khilal, the toes, but don't do mubalagha, don't overemphasize in goggling, because we said, you risk if some droplets go down, the fast will break. What is disliked? In general, all those things that risk, that have the potential risk of causing you to break your fast or dislike. Chewing or tasting something unnecessarily, the risk of it going down. Toothpaste. What is allowed is miswak. Just as miswak is sunnah out of Ramadan, even in Ramadan, it is sunnah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would apply the miswak. How should you break the fast? Again, with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would either use fresh dates. If not fresh dates, then dried dates. If they're not available, then some sips of water. Desirable act, the dua made at the time of breaking the fast, iftari, will never be rejected. Again, from the desirable acts is generosity, providing provisions for people to break and open their fast with. The person who provides provision to open the fast with will receive the same reward as the person who had been fasting all day long. These are some of the desirable acts. Sahri. Now some people might say, I can't be bothered, I'm sleeping, just give me a few more minutes, I'm not even hungry. No, even if you're not hungry, take some sips of water with the intention that Nabi Kareem saw some sunnah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tasahharu, do suhoor, eat the meal. Fa inna fi suhoori baraka, because therein is blessing. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala mutasahhirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows his special blessings and the angels pray for you whilst you're eating the suhoor meal. So it's an ibadat in itself. Delay the pre-dawn meal, but iftari should be done as early as possible, soon as the iftari time has occurred. Protect the limbs, not to get angry. Virtues of suhoor, which we've discussed. What to do at iftar? So we already discussed before, read Bismillahi wa barakatillah. Once you've eaten, then you could say, Allahumma laka sumtu. وعلى رزقك أفطرت أو ذا دعاء ذهب الظمأ وبتلت العروق وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله تعالى. This dua, اللهم لك صمت وعلى رزقك أفطرت, can be found on the community channel of day one Ramadan rulings. Now, is it necessary to perform the qada fast of the previous Ramadan before the arrival of the next? It's ideal. Let's say you are on a journey 8-9 days, you happen to miss the fast. It's ideal, keep those days qada before the arrival of the next Ramadan. However, if a person forgot or never ended up doing so, then obviously you'll keep the immediate first fast of Ramadan, and then after this Ramadan, try to cover those as quick as possible. Taraweeh. Now inshallah, we should be concluding in the next 5-10 minutes or so. Now Taraweeh, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever stands in night prayer, imanan wa ihtisaban, with iman and with hoping for reward from Allah, all the previous sins will be forgiven. How many rakats of Taraweeh are there? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, in the month of Ramadan, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray 20 units followed by witr prayer. 20 rakats followed by witr prayer. There is a narration that some people would quote about 8 rakats, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not increase or decrease from 8 rakats. But that obviously is discussing the tahajjud prayer. The tahajjud of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be 8 rakats in Ramadan, out of Ramadan. Those 8 rakats are nothing to do with Taraweeh. Umar radiallahu anhu made everybody perform 20 rakats in congregation behind another senior sahabi, Ubay ibn Ka'b. And no one can refute it. Everyone understands that Umar radiallahu anhu, and it was the consensus amongst the Sahaba when he chose to do this. So it shows that since 1400 around years, that there used to be the ma'amul, the practice, the custom in the haram of 20 rakats. In the haram of Medina, there, and in the haram of Makkah. These are some of the masail of Tarawih. I'll just quickly give you a summary of the famous one. Let's assume Allahu Akbar, Isha is done, Tarawih has started. Now I've delayed and I've just come in. Can I join the Imam in Tarawih? No. I have to pray my four rakats for the Isha, because Tarawih follows is after four rakats. So on the side or so, I'll pray my four rakats, I'll complete my Isha farz, and then I'll join the Imam. Is that okay? Is that okay? Okay now. Now when the Imam has read 20 rakats, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, it's been the Imam's 20 rakats, so obviously what will he lead now? Witr. But for me, it's only been 16 rakats because I came late. What do I do now? Do I still join him and pray my four afterwards? Or should I just now move away, complete the four, my full 20, and pray witr by myself? Okay, jazakumullah. So when it came to the Isha Farz, we said pray the Isha Farz first, then follow the Imam. However, if I've only read 16 rakats and now the Imam is reciting witr, I will join the Imam in witr. I prayed my 16, I will join the Imam in witr, and after the witr is complete, I will complete the number of rakats which are due, whether 2, 4, 6, 8. Then these are quick masail of i'tikaf. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would perform i'tikaf every single year in the last 10 days. What invalidates the i'tikaf is to go out without any excusable difficulty. Some of these things we've discussed, or to avoid any business transactions, worldly things, to engage in ibadat. Then Laylatul Qadr, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, search for Laylatul Qadr on the odd nights of the last 10. 21, 23, 25, 27, 29. I know there's a number of scholars who have said 27th, but sometimes we neglect the other odd nights. It shouldn't be that we preserve one night alone and we neglect. For example, in Tarawih, the Alhamdulillah, we've been praying 1 1/4 the whole time. And then when it comes to the last few days, where we should be increasing the sprint, we're almost concluding the race, then we go on to half, 3/4, slightly becoming lazy. When there, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would increase his ibadat and worship. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha asked, O Prophet of Allah, if I were to find Laylatul Qadr, what should I recite? Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. O Allah, you are the pardoning, the forgiving. You love forgiveness, so forgive me. Now we move on to Sadaqatul Fitr. Again, I'll try and wrap this up. Why? Again, we like controversy, don't we? If you were to look at some of the timetables, you'll see differences within the masajid in Blackburn. Some as low as 150 and others as much as 5. If you go to other towns, it could be £6, £7. Again, each to their own. However, there will be some difference of values. Why do these exist? We move on to the value of Sadaqatul Fitr, which is on this slide. Generally, we use half a sa' of wheat or wheat flour. What's a sa'? Now, some scholars measure half a sa' in liters, volume. Some measure it in weight. So some will discuss liters, others will discuss kg. Now, if you were, how much is one sa'? The value ranges from 1.1 to 2.32 or so. So some scholars say half a sa' of wheat is 1.4 kg, 1.5 kg. A lot of scholars say 1.8. Some scholars say the most cautious and the highest value is 2.3. So you can do the maths and you can do the research. If I were to go to a shop and there was a poor person, I have to give him half a sa' of wheat. Let's say 1.8 kg or 2 kg. So I would purchase the 2 kg of wheat and give him that. How much would that cost me? Now you can go to the local store, you can go on the internet, you could go to a and find out, and you obviously see there's different quantities, there's different bands, different values, there's different amounts, and therefore there will be differences in prices. So generally scholars will go to these different places, find the mean, the average, and will say. So now you know where the value of comes from. That, for example, 1.8 kg, some scholars say, some say 2.3 kg of wheat. How much would it cost me? If you can purchase the wheat, buy the wheat and give it to the poor person. But obviously that won't be relevant mostly here. So we give money equivalent. The idea is that if I was to send my Sadaqatul Fitr, let's say India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, that if I were to send my money there and they were to go in a market with that money, would they be able to purchase 1.8 kg, 2 kg of the wheat? Now obviously different places, the prices differ. So again, some scholars take the value of where a person is residing. Some scholars take the value of where your Sadaqatul Fitr will be distributed. So there's a difference of opinion in there also. However, this is the hadith Abdullah ibn Abbas says, give the charity of your fasting. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam prescribed the sadaqah as one sa'a. That would be double of 2.2, about 4 kg of dates or half a sa'a of wheat. And therefore, that's the value of in some mosques, 152, 250, £3, £350, £5, etc. Now, this is an important mas'ala. Sadaqatul Fitr must be given on behalf of every family member. If the minor has their own money, it could be given from their own money. But if they don't, if they're not rich, if they don't have nisab equivalent, then it's necessary on the father to give Sadaqatul Fitr on behalf of every family member. The month of the Quran, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most generous in the month of Ramadan. Jibreel would visit him and they would recite to each other. The Ramadan before Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, they completed two rounds of the Quran. Again, this slide I won't be going through because inshallah we'll have another presentation somewhere in the near future specifically about zakat. Zakat can be applicable upon you at any time of the year, but people are a bit more conscious in the month of Ramadan. But we must be answering, do we give zakat? Is my zakat due upon me? When am I going to calculate? Have I on the gold, silver, money, business asset, any shares, etc.? And then just to top it up, there's many serious faces. Eid. I know a long way left yet. However, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who stands in worship, desirous of attaining the promised rewards from Allah during the night of Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, he will not die on the day when the hearts will die. So desirable sunnah acts is wake up early. If it's Eid al-Fitr, have something sweet. If dates are available, fine. Otherwise, anything sweet. And then to proceed, perform ghusl, apply fragrance, use miswak, wear best clothes or new clothes. Give Sadaqatul Fitr before proceeding to offer. Now, Sadaqatul Fitr can be given before the Eid day. 2 days, 3 days, 4 days in advance. And it might be good to do so. So at least our money reaches the poor and they can make the arrangements to celebrate this sacred day. To walk to the place of prayer if possible. To go as soon as. To take one route and to return from another route. To express happiness and joy and to smile. And to make dua for each other. تقبل الله منا ومنكم. May Allah accept ours and may Allah accept your all ibadats and acts. Charity in the Eidgah. To continuously read the Takbir al-Tashriq from home till the commandments of the Eid Salah on the day of Eid al-Fitr. To observe the khutbah after the Salah of Eid. Note the actual Salah is wajib. Now, Jazakum Allah Khairah. But this was a brief explanation for the Masail of Ramadan. However, if someone has some questions, they can always ask throughout the month of Ramadan. Similarly, alhamdulillah, for those who have joined our community WhatsApp group, or if not, even on these screens, it'll display a ruling per day. So there'll be Ramadan rulings and Ramadan reflections. Ramadan reflections are quotes of inspirations. Ramadan rulings is day by day, one ruling at a time. And if there's any clarity required, inshallah, we'll always be available. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity to learn deen, to practice deen, and to spread deen as well. Jazakumullahu khairan. Oh, this thing. Do the one more time.
5 minutes.
Oh, 5. Okay, so sorry, I'm not that easy. You'll have to bear with me another 5 minutes. Okay, so I thought they were waiting for me, less I'm waiting for them. Okay, so we'll have some questions. Are there any questions on what has been covered? I've not heard much from the adults. So are we clear on what breaks the fast, what doesn't break the fast? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so if something goes through our throat and goes to our lungs, it breaks our fast immediately. Oh. But if it's only with the ears and it doesn't go in your lungs or the nose, and
it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, mashallah. Say mashallah. Now, just to clarify, there are some books that said that if oil were to enter the ears, it would break the fast. Now, for those who have read that, and if they were to hear differently from me, that is, again, one of those masail which were based on their understanding of the human anatomy, human body. That it was understood that there's a direct pathway between the ears and the stomach. So if anything was to enter the ear, reaches the stomach. However, since technology and science has developed, our understanding is there's no direct pathway. So therefore, it will not break the fast. So some masail are obviously inspired by Quran and Hadith. Some masail may be dependent on cultural norms. So as the norm changes, the masala changes. Some people will assume what masala changes. Well, that's the root cause was different. Similarly, some masail were based on their understanding of the human body. Now as the understanding has developed, now they've understood that if someone was to something was to enter the ear, then it would not directly go into the stomach, so it will not break the fast. Are there any questions?
On travel, you mentioned the status of Subah Sadiq.
Yeah.
What if in travel you run the risk of, let's just take dehydration as an example. So long travel, in your case, you went left.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's fine. But as long as, whilst you were in Blackburn, at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, you are fasting. Once you start the journey, now you have the flexibility. It's still, you should continue, but if you risk and you fear or you start experiencing, then you can't break the fast. And because you didn't do so deliberately and now you have an excuse, you're actively traveling, there won't be 60 continuous days of fasting or so. There'll only be a replacement fast. So there is that flexibility. But that flexibility only exists once you start the journey, not from the beginning. Yes? So you realize? Once you've broken the fast, now you can't because you've eaten. One other mas'ala is, we spoke about Fajr. That let's say I woke up slightly late and can I make the intention? Let me give you two examples. Let's say I woke up, it's 5:30. Obviously Fajr beginning time has occurred. I'm half asleep with one eye, I assume it's 4:30. I start eating. So I assume it's 5:30. I assume it's 4:30 when it's really 5:30. Now I stop eating once I'm aware. Does my fast count or not?
No.
My fast does not count because I've eaten during those hours. But did I do that deliberately? No. So therefore my fast won't count. I'll keep a replacement fast, but there isn't 60 continuous days of kafara. Let me give you another example. All right, this example actually happened. I was in Canada again, and the Imam Saab would start the dua 15 minutes early. Yeah. 15 minutes, why to create the mahol, the environment? And for some reason, he would start the dua with, Allahumma laka sumtu, wa ala rizqika aftartu, 15 minutes before doing so. Obviously, for those who are there for a long time, would know that's his way. But there were two mehman, there were two guests who came along with us that day. And they slightly stayed away. They were slightly shy. Everyone's eating together. They've gathered around the food. Everyone's making dua. They said, no, we'll just sit in the Jamaat Khana. We'll break the fast ourselves. Those two, three people. When they heard the Mansab say, Allahumma laka sumtu, they began to eat. Now what would you say? Did their fast break or did it not break? Their fast has broken because they have eaten during fasting hours. But yes, they didn't do it deliberately. Therefore, we will say there's no kafara, 60 continuous days of fasting. But sorry, you fasted the whole day. Inshallah, Allah reward you, but the fast doesn't count and you'll have to keep a replacement fast afterwards. Any other questions? Yeah.
Like I'm fasting and the soul is my spirit, does it count?
Oh, that's fine. Yes, so mucus, saliva. Sometimes it may happen that a person is praying salah and the mucus or the saliva gathers. Now, we shouldn't deliberately gather the saliva and then deliberately swallow it. However, if you were to swallow it, because it's come from within, it's not something from outside going inside, it will not break the fast. So the saliva, the mucus will not break the fast.
Is it true that you can eat 60 fasting people as
Okay, that is only if a person is unable to fast for 60 continuous days. Yeah, if for some reason they've attained old age or they've got an illness, they'll never be able to fast for 60 days. Only then they can choose to feed 60 poor people. What if by accident? Food accidentally. As in literally you fall in a kitchen and suddenly the fridge opens and some juice falls off and some apple and bananas. And the water said, please take me in. So again, if it's accidentally, it will break the fast. We said there's a difference between accidentally and forgetful. 2 minutes? You still got me for two more minutes.
For example, you've broken your fast, yeah? Fast, stop on it. Is there any ethical you've got to follow?
Okay, that's an important question. The question is, let's say you are unaware and you broke the fast accidentally. Now your fast is broken. So does that mean, well, do I need to follow some etiquette or do I now eat? No. It is still wajib for you to remain, abstain from food until iftari. Although it's not a qualified fast, but because of the sanctity of Ramadan, sanctity of the daylight hours, and imitation with the fasting hours, it's still wajib upon the person, stay away from food and drink until iftari. So, Jazakumullah khairah. If anyone has questions, I'll be here today, tomorrow, inshallah, whenever. And I think they're waiting for us. So now, without delay, I don't want to be the barrier, kabam ya haddi, between you and whatever is ready. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Jazakumullah khairah.